Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there are extremes around us. Sometimes they are with the people close to us. Maybe they're in one mood or another. Or it might be on the streets around us, where one day is peaceful and another day is violent. Or it might be in the stock market, where it could be up or down 10% in one day. And then just look at what it was like last year. It was pretty good last year, but this year the businesses are closing. Tens of thousands of businesses will close and never open again. And the churches, Father, they're having a hard time. They're drastically lower attendance levels now. And so fewer people are worshiping you. So please guide us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is National Preparedness Month, so let us keep mindful of what we could see in our future and how to prepare for it, and to do so without fear. I think that being prepared greatly reduces fear. And just in the world, you know that people use fear to get you to do something that you would not normally do. That's the way it's pretty normal with the world. If you look at the news, you hear news that will get you fearful. Well, recently, just days ago, I heard that an asteroid would be coming near Earth in just a few days. Near Earth is what the headline said, but when you read on, it was 8 times further away from us than the moon. So, all this concern about a 400-foot asteroid, I don't consider that to be a concern at all. And then, if you listen to those scientists, they do talk about asteroids, and they say that we can expect one to come about the time of Election Day. And again, I'm not concerned about that at all. But I do wonder about what we are being told. And is it for the purpose of keeping us on the edge of fear? Well, there are things that do concern me, not the asteroids, but other things do. And we can do a little something to counteract that. Here's maybe 5 things of what concern me. A collapsing U.S. economy. A failing U.S. dollar. And regulations that are created due to the COVID-19 virus. I also am concerned about the violent demonstrations all around the country and what that means. I'm concerned about our national electrical grid if it were to fail. And I would be concerned if we had a national disaster like a gigantic earthquake. And we have 2 that are ready to go in terms of time, geological time. One is the Cascadia subduction zone, and the other is the New Madrid Fault. So, yes, a little concern is there, and I hope that you think about the what-if scenarios for these kind of events. And as I just said, preparedness reduces fear. We do have concerns, but not fear. Please, let's not fear. I do hope that you can take some reasonable precautions, though, especially with this being National Preparedness Month. And everybody has a different idea about what reasonable means. We all have different ideas. Sometimes it is in our likes and dislikes, and sometimes it is what we do and where we put our money. The money is a really good indicator of our values. But I hope you consider what money you want to spend on preparedness, and a part of that is what quantity of anything do you want, And what quality of that do you want to have? I think of water and food as being so very important. And I do know that every one of us has a different approach. And that is good, because if we all had the same approach, we would all have the same things in our preparedness supply. But no, if we all have a different concern, we can help each other with the variety of things that we have in our supplies. So it's good that we're all different, that we all think different, and that we all have different supplies. So if or when a major event happens, it will be something that we can do to help each other in different ways. And that is as best as we can do. Now, some of us will gravitate towards our Christian community, and that is good. A community is good. A community with mutual interests is good, because it's a basis of caring about one another. And those groups, no doubt, will always be different. You could be a part of a radio club. You could be part of your neighborhood. You could be part of a four-wheel drive club, or a knitting circle, or an equestrian patrol. Maybe you're motorcyclists, or maybe you're farmers, and chicken farmers, who knows? The thing is that to have a mutual interest can help to have a camaraderie among the group. And it is the first basis of compassion, compassion and caring for one another. And we can always go back to those basic groups that we seem to have, which are family and friends. And that's just the basics. So keep all these things in mind. Keep in the back of your mind who you would want to be a part of as a group. And that's just for if the trouble does come, we can think about who we know and who we can be a help to, or who can be a help to us. It's a mutual thing. Now, we do have to think about the different parts of if there was an event coming our way, what does that mean? Well, we all have the basic needs, water, food, and warmth, but we also have basic concerns, which we all have also. One of them is the lawless element, and that is something which a preparedness group would have to deal with. What would you do if there was someone lawless, either in your group or trying to take advantage or steal things from your group or destroy things? How do you handle that? You know, do remember that however your concern is, at some point you can expect to have order restored. It will not stay in chaos forever. There's countries in the past that have had chaos for years, more than 10 years of chaos. And then what happens is society reestablishes its order. And if there was any past immoral behavior, a person is made accountable for their behavior. That's been going on all over the world, and you can see the examples in South America or Asia or Africa. It's just, that's the pattern. So if we do get into a time of chaos, remember that people will be held accountable for their actions, even if it takes 10 or 20 years. And those people will be held accountable. There have been plenty of people who have received sentences of death and sentences of life imprisonment because of their crimes in a time of chaos. So remember that and just kind of keep that in the back of your mind for your group or organization. And we don't know quite what'll happen, but we do have to remember to keep our moral compass in the right direction, and that is towards Jesus. And there are things that are certain, and there's things that are uncertain. We do get prepared for the uncertainties in life, but you know that there is always one thing that is certain, and that everyone who is alive will face death. Yes, I know, except the rapture, but we don't know when that is. So we can expect to face death, and in the words of the Bible, it is, and then the judgment. That's Hebrews 9:27. It says that we are appointed to man is appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. Well, whenever I quote scripture, I hope you look it up and look at the verses before and after and get the context. But anyway, there will always be consequences to our actions, and that is the lovely ones too. And that is what we want to remember, our lovely actions. And let those align with God's word and God's principle. And to do that, it surely helps to read our Bible, at least read the New Testament. And that way you can know God better and obey God better. It's a good thing to do. After all, we do want to spend eternity with God in heaven. And so we want to know him and have that eternal, loving relation with God Jesus. I don't know of anything more important that we could do. So an easy way to have that relation is to read the Bible. And the New Testament, it's only, what, 200 or 300 pages, depending on the size of print. So every one of us can read that at least once. Well, that will tell us a little more about the Lord our God, who we plan to spend eternity with. That's our hope and desire. And we can make that sure. If you look at John chapter 3, it talks about that. The Bible talks about a lot of things. It talks about staying in the faith and falling out of the faith. Now, there are people who will fall away from the faith. And we do want to go to heaven, like I was just saying. So I think of John 3, 5, and it says that we must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So, yeah. Let's see. It reads, Jesus is saying, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so I ask you, are you going to enter the kingdom of God? Are you born again? Read it for yourself, John chapter 3. God's written word does not change. So read it and believe it. The Bible tells us what God wants us to do, and so it would be good for us to do it, don't you think? Yeah. So let us live. Our life be a proof of our belief. That's what I think of life as. It's a demonstration of our belief that is shown by our actions. Because really, if you think about it, what is important? What is the most important thing for us? Well, I think it's eternity. And we do have to remember that when we are reading the Bible, we want God's understanding. Because that's the only thing that is important, is what God tells us. We can have our own beliefs, but that's us. That He tells us what to believe and what to do. And this is a part of being with God in heaven, is to belong to Him. So we make that choice. And we cannot fool God with what we say we did or what we think. He knows our mind and our heart's intent, and He knows our actions and our words. We cannot fool God. He knows. So bring yourself into a position of knowing what God wants, and then do it. We want to bring God power and glory to Himself and not to us. I mean, it's kind of easy to do, to think that we are important and that we should have people say things nice about us. But really, God is important, and we don't have the same kind of importance. So I think of the great commandment of how we live, and that is Matthew 12:37, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And God will judge all of this perfectly. But we get to figure it out in the midst of everything else that is going on in our life, and we get to wonder what is the right thing to do. Well, do the right thing. I think about people who need help, and sure, it can be financial, and it can be otherwise. I think of our church, the church body, and I think of that and how we are getting out of the habit of supporting our church community. So a part of that difficulty is because we have gotten ourselves into debt, and those debts we have to pay. Otherwise, they come after us. And see, God has warned us not to get into debt, but we, too many of us, have anyway, and so we are not free to spend the money we have. It's already been committed. So that's a part of why we want to stay debt-free, no matter how difficult it is. We sometimes forget things. Yeah, we sure do. Sometimes we forget just the things that we should remember every day, like what's in our pockets or our purse or our keys or our social distancing or our mask. Yeah. What would you do if a mask was required? You would wear it. That's what everybody's doing. And that's okay, it seems like, huh? And what would you do if there was a vaccine that was required? Would you do that too? And what about if you needed a mark to buy or sell or keep your home? Would you do that too? What are you going to comply with? I don't mean I have the answer. I mean we all make choices. But it is a concern. And just this this mask, this social distance, this it looks like there's a vaccine coming our way too. And there is a plan for that, that everyone will take that vaccine. They will have hundreds of millions of vaccines prepared. Are you going to take that vaccine? Good question. The vaccine manufacturers, by law, have no liability. They have already put aside a government fund that not too many people get the money from, but it's there for the vaccine-damaged people. And there are investigators, and you can look it up too. In the vaccine, in the inserts, in that white paper, it does tell you what the ingredients are to a vaccine. Or you can look it up online and read it, understand it, because the ingredients of the vaccines, they're not our normal language. But if you look up the definitions, I think you'll be surprised. I know I sure was. The vaccines are very often, some part of them is grown on animal DNA. an animal RNA. So we get that in our bloodstream when we accept a vaccination. And that's just, everybody has their own idea, because some people say, well, it's required. Some people say, my doctor says I should have it, so I'm going to. Okay, but it's still your decision. And if you say no, there are consequences. But there are consequences to getting a vaccine also. I know that in the last 20 years in India, there have been thousands of vaccine problems like paralysis. What do you say about that? Their vaccines are not perfect. So we have to evaluate it and make our decision. And it's pretty complicated because vaccines are required so often. Certainly for school they are. So there's another question with vaccines, because there is suggestions that there is a link between vaccines and cancer cells. And that link goes back to the earlier polio vaccines, which contained SV40. That means simian virus number 40. And researchers at the time, they knew that it was in the vaccine, but they didn't want to stop the vaccination program. So they didn't. And so roughly half of the population of the United States got a vaccine with SV40 in it. So we have questions, and I don't really know the answer, but I know I'm quite concerned. The people who research that are very few. And by the way, the people who research it have to get permission from the research board first, because all those super duper fancy microscopes are owned by the government, and the schools operate them, and there is a research board that allows people to do research or not. Most of the research projects are not allowed. So if you're questioning something the government supports, you might not get a chance to look into that super duper fancy microscope. Oh, and even if you do, unless it's an emergency, the wait can be years, months or years to use that super fancy microscope. Well, there's just questions, and this is one of the difficulties in finding the answers, because there's a group out there that kind of controls the flow of information. And I'm sure they have good intents, but they still have guidelines that they operate under, and we would do well to remember that. There's not simple answers. Simple. Yeah, that reminds me of this little quip I saw. If the mask works, why the 6 feet? If the 6 feet works, why the mask? If they both work, why the lockdown? If the vaccine is safe, why do the vaccine manufacturers have a no liability clause? Well, there's questions. It's worthwhile to ask questions, and some answers are so obvious, but some are not, especially as you look deeper. I think about what's going on with the current virus, and I think about the restrictions that are placed on us. We are not allowed to travel to another church. Well, we are allowed to travel to protest. Okay, that's a civil right. But we're not allowed to go to your same city or within the state and go to a church to worship in a group of more than, 50? Depends on the church, yeah. But, and the state. they all have different guidelines, but the point is we are restricted in some ways and not in others. So pray, 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 and when it's appropriate, act. I think a part of that act is talking to your legislators and tell them what you think. It's a good idea. Because we do have consequences from what our politicians are forcing us to do. Or are they forcing us, or are we volunteering? Who volunteered to close their business? Please tell me. And who says we can do what? Do we have liberty? I know that at one point in our history, liberty was considered sacred. But now we are letting our government make decisions that stifle our liberty. They control us. And our government has stopped our economy and stopped a lot of our activity. Boy, we all have a different idea about that, don't we? Both sides are very opinionated. Well, please consider what the questions are and what the consequences are. We have two different conflicting sides. Yes, one is churchgoers and one is rioters, or, well, they're just two different sides, and we are seeing it today all around our society. I think it is important to remember that the two basic sides are goodness and evil. That's the two basic sides, God and Satan. So we know what the dark side is about. Our Bible reminds us that the dark side wants to destroy everything. And out of the ashes, they will rise, and the current dark side of the movement says that they will rise as the phoenix, the mythical phoenix bird that rises out of the ashes. And it will create a new order. And today we call that the New World Order. I believe that out of that will come the Antichrist. I think it's pretty clear, but anyway. For this to happen, there has to be destruction all throughout society, that the family would be destroyed, the businesses would be destroyed, homes and churches and schools would all be destroyed, and therefore our decent and godly structure would also be destroyed. And out of the ashes of that destruction would arise that mythical phoenix bird, which is the New World Order. Along with this so-called global reset, there would be rules and restrictions, and apparently all debt will be dealt with. How? We don't know. I'm sure there will be forgiveness on a new system, but I'm also sure that we will be indebted to that new system, which I think will be an international money. Sure, probably the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank, they will all be involved in it. But I just meant to point out the ashes and then a new system. There's talk, people today talk of that being a reset. So much talk in the last few years has been about an economic reset. We might have that. Well, it sure is looking like it, because people want to get out from under their debt. That, I don't think, will ever happen. I think the debt is a chain around our neck as a people or any other group, including the governments. That chain around their neck will enable them to be controlled, and that's why I think the reset will also have a percentage of debt that everybody will continue to hold. So even if they get credits or an income even, that will be a part of the reset where the debt continues. That's just the way the world conditions are right now. So many of the world conditions are indicating that this is close to the time of the end of the age. And a part of that is the monetary conditions. They are looking like a collapse and recreation. That's what I see. And so what that tells me is we are close to that mark of the beast also. Even if we don't know exactly what it means, we can come pretty close to understanding what it does imply. So, well, we know one thing, Revelation 13:16. Let's see, small and great, rich and poor will receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. And the next verse is, that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. The next verse describes it as 666, as the number of his name. So we have things that are told, prophesied in Scripture, and we can be sure that they will happen. And if we're leading up to that right now, and so many people believe that, so it's a good idea to look at it. Again, look at the preparation. What can you do to prepare? And I know you're going to say, well, we're going to be raptured out of here. Okay, that is a theory. And even though there are roots in truth that show that we will be raptured, the timing of it is a great big unknown. And there have been arguments on both sides of that question, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. So I urge you, with so much uncertainty, to not simply depend on that pre-tribulation rapture to get you out of trouble. I say prepare with some water, water filter, food, storable food long-term, and things that'll keep you warmth. In case there is fires around the world or an eruption of a volcano, that would cool the earth off so much, and we would have to have our first line of keeping warm be our clothing. Well, the point that I mean to say is look at what the situation is and be prepared so that you are not in a position of starvation where you think you have to take that mark to live. I say it's better to die without the mark and go to heaven than it would be to live for a little while longer and go to hell. Because we are all going to die, every one of us. The timing of it is a question, but that's for you to examine. Always be prepared, I think, to meet your Maker, and that is by having faith that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So no matter what, we don't want to take that mark of the beast, no matter what. And the Bible tells us the devil is a liar, who came to kill, steal, and destroy us and our stuff. So we have to be careful about being deceived, about the lies that are going on, and you would be best off to read these things for yourself in the Bible. Again, be not deceived. That means you go to the truest source that there is, that's the Bible, and you read it for yourself, instead of believing some authority or another. So we know what the devil is, and we know the opposite is Jesus. And he, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:16. So deceptions are everywhere in the world, and you don't want to be deceived. It's not fun to believe a lie. So the consequences are pretty, pretty serious. So read that Bible. It's a good book. And as we are faced with the things in life, you can see that there are two sides of every argument, two sides of every position. And one is the goodly side, God, and the other is the bad side, which is Satan. And they turn each, like with birth. Let's say birth is always a wonderful, joyous occasion, but it's been turned into something else through abortion. Okay, food is a good thing, yes. And the opposite of food is overeating or sugar and tooth decay. So we have to be clear that we are understanding what is correct and its effects. Two sides. So be sure that you understand all that you do. Oh, and money is a part of it too. Money. Well, it's really dollars and Federal Reserve notes, because those have no value by themselves. Money, however, does have value. It is something that has a value of exchange. So if you have a bunch of pens, a bunch of 1 ounce coins, a bunch of food, that has value, and that would pass for money. Little pieces of paper with numbers on it is called currency. It has no value except what people believe it has. Okay, so let's think. What else? Well, the economic losses, speaking of money, are so great. In our country alone, coronavirus has caused $5 trillion in losses. And worldwide, it has cost $20 trillion in losses because of the shutdowns, because of us not doing our normal things. So it's a great big effect on everything. Is it worth it? Well, we got over other viruses. Yeah, so we have to look at all these questions and realize where we stand on the issues. You want somebody else to decide for you? Well, they are. How's it working for that, huh? The government people are deciding. The governors are deciding. And are you satisfied with their decisions? Are they taking care of you properly? Well, that's an individual understanding, isn't it? And you get to decide that, and so do I, and then we talk about it. That's what we do. Have polite conversation and polite discussions, even if they're about different points of view. That's what we want to do. Well, there's so many people who are saying that because of the shutdowns, because of what we are doing to our economy, we are going to see another Great Depression, at least as big as the one in the 1930s. And like that Great Depression of the 1930s, this new depression would take 10 years at least to get out of. Now, if we had a good war, it would stimulate the economy and it would take a few years less. But war causes a lot of problems. It causes shortages of all sorts of things. It causes government debt, and it causes death to the citizens. So there's a lot of things that are not good about war. God knows our future, but a lot of times the choices are in our very own hands. Oh, yes. All the nations seem to be having a national debt problem, and the national debt is growing in so many countries. The financial analysts have looked it over And they say that once a country reaches 90% of its gross domestic product in the form of its national debt, it's very hard to recover. And right now, the United States is at 100% ratio. Our national debt is 100% of our gross domestic product. And that means it's really unlikely that we are going to recover and ever get normal again. That's what the historical facts indicate. So again, prepare. You see, the world is headed towards a crash. That's what I think of it as. You could call it a depression. And then what? A new system. Which includes an antichrist system. That's what I think. Everybody can have a different opinion, but I think it's wise to prepare for the just in case. If you believe that, you'll put more of your thoughts and finances towards that concern. If you are not concerned, then you will put less. It's a matter of individual choice. And that's good. It's good to have individual choice. Yep, with our $26 trillion debt. Million, billion, trillion. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Yeah, we have something happening. If you divide the national debt right now among the population, we each owe $80,000 each. And that's for the entire population. It includes infants and the elderly and the working people. $80,000 per person for if you divide the national debt among the population. It's a serious thing. Yes, it is. There's something that we can do to look over what our personal financial condition is. And to do that, we want to eliminate any debt that we possibly can. Because all our personal decisions, they do have consequences. And while we don't know for sure what they are, we can look at what history says they are. Look around and make a plan. Make your plan, and then follow it out so that you are satisfied with what you're doing and where your money is going or where your preparations concerns are going. Look at the world around you, because the world around you has, they want you to do what they want you to do, and you probably want something a little bit different, probably. So have a plan. And do things that make sense to you as you reflect Bible principles. Yeah, okay. We have a world right now headed down a different path, and we want to make sure that one way or another we are with Christ. So when we think of all the things that we are faced with on a daily basis, they may or may not have a concern with our salvation, but it is for each one of us to look at. And we do want to be mindful that there are things that the Bible says are coming, and one way or another, those things will happen. I know that we are going to have a time when things are pretty serious. We are. The Bible tells us that we will suffer have sufferings just like Jesus did. And so we want to remember to pray for the people in charge, the people who influence everything around us. After all, if they are bad leaders and we pray for them, maybe they will become a good leader. So that's the idea. Doesn't mean it'll happen immediately, but we sure want to think about it. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Yep, that's not always easy. A lot of people have managed to do it, and a lot of people have failed, but that's our goal, and that's what we want to do. Remember, we are to read our book of instructions, and that's the Bible. All of life, we have this and that. We have hard times, and we have everything going on, good times, and we do want to consider what it is in our future so that our family and our friends, people around us, are able to get through the hard times. And if you look at what has happened to countries around the world that have had financial difficulties as a country or have gone broke, they go through a great deal of pain. The people go through a great deal of pain. And the United States has opened its doors towards people who come from those countries so that they have the opportunity to form and forge a better life here in this nation. We want to be compassionate about the people who have had troubles. I mean, look at now, right now, there's people who have been through the flames and been through the fires again. They have experienced destruction caused by flames and great loss. So many things get lost, and it affects our community, our Christian community. And we want to remember to have compassion on the people that have lost their memories, their homes, their security, because their sadness is great, and sometimes their ability to cope with life is harmed. So we want to have compassion. We want to have an understanding of their loss and be able to have care and compassion. Turn to God. God is a comfort, and he writes about that in his word, the Bible. There's so much sadness that goes on, and I think of the sadness that Jesus went through too. Jesus went through sadness on the cross and grief, and today I think that we all go through grief too when we see the bad decisions people make. We are grieved for people who we know and love that are making stupid decisions that we know will have a bad effect. And I'm sure that happens with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit too. When they see that we are making decisions that will cause us pain, they're sad, they're grieved. So you want to make the right decisions? And a part of that is also having heavenly rewards. That's one of the things that follows our right living, right decisions, right, correct side of the Bible. We get a right reward because that's what judgment is about, where some get righteous rewards and some get penalties because they did not turn to God. And that's just a part of the principle. It's a part of God's judgment. I hope that you are considering how you can spread the good news of the gospel to the people who don't know it. We want to be joyous as a people because we have God's love, and we want to say, yes, Lord, and thank you, Lord, and worship him as we are doing so. Really, we can pray for those who are unsaved, and that's a good thing to do in our community, among the people we know. There's so many people to pray for, to reach with the good news of the gospel. That's what we want to do, have care and compassion for their eternal life. Eternal life is so much more important than our physical life here on earth, and yet we deal with physical life here on earth too. And when we give compassion, well, that's a good thing too. It is kind of like following the love of Christ and giving it to people in the world. That's what compassion does for the other people, their hurts and their needs. Yeah, and that makes me think of money a little bit. You know, money is really a tool, and it's an indicator of our belief and our faith. Because when money influences our decisions, and it can, maybe it even should, but it is an indicator of where our values really lie. What are our values? Money shows it. Look at your spending and see where what it indicates your values are. I know that when we do have extra money, it's something we can do to put it into caring and compassion for hurting people. We all do that differently. We all see one need or another, and we want to show that compassion because we're nice human people. And pretty much people don't like to see other people harmed and hurting. Yes, I know there's a few that are not like that, but they've had trauma that have caused them to be that way. And we have to realize that we want to avoid them because their trauma has been so great that is the only way that they can deal with the world around them. People, you, and situations. That's something that we want to be aware of and protect us, ourselves, and our loved ones from people who have that much harm in them. Yes, we can love them, we can pray for them, but we do that at the right situation. And we don't want us or our family or our friends to be hurt. So use wisdom, look at what is, and make decisions. As we have compassion for one another. And I just see the financial system is being ready to have a breakdown. It doesn't mean next week or next month or next year, but it could be any of those, and it also could be in a decade. But the financial system is just showing itself to be in so much, it's dying. Our financial system is dying. And, that reminds me of what I saw that Robert Kiyosaki, you know, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a few decades ago. But he has become a very wealthy man, and he is concerned for other people. So he tells people about what's going on, and you know that when there's ultra-rich people like he is, he talks to other people that we don't. He gets advice from people that we don't. And so when we listen to people who are extremely wealthy, it can be a good thing because we get a way of thinking that we don't normally think. And he says, we are finished. The American empire is over. That's what he said. Now, he's not the only one who said that. But right now, we are in the days of ancient Rome where the government provides bread and circus to keep the people fed and to keep them entertained so they don't revolt. That's, I think, a part of why we have stimulus money, to satisfy people so they don't starve and riot. Yeah, how's that working? Anyway, that's the idea. Another thing that has been widely getting attention is UBI, which is Universal Basic Income. And Germany is experimenting with that right now. where they are paying, let me think, was it $1,100? It was at least $1,100 a month to every person in the country. It was a three-month trial experiment to see if it would work. And there's a lot of people in this country who say that we should switch to universal basic income. Will that happen? It might, but that would just mean money would become inflated, and we would have our money would deteriorate in its value, but we would be just as the same standard of living or lower, definitely or lower. The economy is going to quite a position. So, speaking of that, just days ago, MasterCard said that it was releasing a new platform where it was going to enable central banks to test digital currencies on the MasterCard. And if that would happen, then who would control our currency? Well, the Federal Reserve or the central bank of any country would control our currency. They would have control of it because they could allow or not allow, and they would know where all our money would go as well. Recorded right there. Well, we live in a world where things are going on, and we ought to be aware of them. Maybe we have a chance to change it or protect ourselves from the way the things are headed. We just get to look at it. Everybody gets to figure it out. But if we don't look, we don't know, we don't see, and we do whatever we're told, well, that's the tendency anyway. Things are coming. We have a whole new system coming, and you can guess what it is, and so can I. It's that Mark of the Beast system is coming. But Revelation also tells, the different books, Matthew, Mark, Luke tell us what's coming. Earthquakes, pestilence, famine, all these things are coming. So what do we do? Maybe we get used to being a farmer. Yeah, it's true. Maybe we do. And we could do a lot. And the other thing is remember we are a part of a community. Remember to put our hope in Jesus and our love in God and love one another also. That's what I think of preparedness, really. That's the most important thing to do. But we can prepare physically as well. And if you'd like to get my free preparedness brochure, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and I'll get that to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to everyone.